Alexandra Darby is here for the appellant, Jews, and Michael Billingsley is here for the government. Ms. Darby, you may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Mr. Jews' Alabama youthful offender adjudication for an offense committed when he was 16 years old is not an adult conviction under Section 2K2.1 of the sentencing guidelines. The relevant commentary defers to state law on this issue, and Alabama law does not classify a YO adjudication as an adult conviction. The commentary to Section 2K2.1 explains that for an offense committed before the age of 18, it qualifies as an adult conviction only if it is classified as an adult conviction under the laws of the jurisdiction where the defendant was convicted. So in this case, the court defers to Alabama law.
Let me ask you a quick question. I'm a little confused as to whether we are supposed to use the pinion factors for the 2K21 guideline issue, because you're right. The commentary clearly says classified, but it seems like that we've applied the pinion fact, this sort of multi-factor analysis, even to the 2K21. Is that right?
Your Honor, in the pinion case, this court was addressing both an argument that this wouldn't qualify under the criminal history category analysis, as well as under the 4B1.2 analysis. So the court's discussion of the factors in pinion, I think, speak much more to the analysis under the criminal history points in light of the guidelines' clear dictate that you have to look to Alabama law to make this determination. Recognize that this court did look to some of the factors in pinion. However, the clear requirement under the guidelines, when you're dealing with Section 2K2.1 or 4B1.2, as opposed to the criminal history analysis, it clearly defers to state law.
Pinion doesn't really tell us how the court weighs these factors. Is one factor weighed heavier than the others? Is it a totality of the circumstances analysis?
Your Honor, I argue it's the totality of the circumstances, but in this case, what makes it?
Well, there are two factors that favor the government, right? The sentence, 3 years, favors the government. The actual time served favors the government. Your argument is that the nature of the proceedings favors your client, right?
Yes, Your Honor. In this case, because YO proceedings are so separate and so different than adult criminal proceedings in an Alabama court, that factor in this case should carry the day here. We recognize that some of the factors do count toward the government. However, there are so many distinctions under Alabama law between YO adjudications and adult criminal convictions, beginning with the fact that under Alabama law, it's not a conviction, and you're not considered to have sustained a conviction. And with all of that, there are a host of collateral consequences that don't apply.
So is it clear that we look to Alabama law?
Under the guidelines? Yes, Your Honor. It is, because it clarifies, an adult conviction. When someone is under the age of 18, what is an adult conviction is governed by the laws of the jurisdiction, which in this case is Alabama.
So on the 2K21 issue, your sort of primary argument is that given the commentary's reference to how the thing is classified under state law, that your primary argument is that, like, you can just stop there. It's sort of says it's classified. YOs are not classified as adult convictions. That's the end of it. And then secondarily, that even if you do sort of this multi-factor opinion analysis, classification weighs in your favor, the nature weighs in your favor, even if, as Judge Wilson says, some of the others weigh in sort of the other direction.
Yes, Your Honor.
But from your perspective, I guess just sort of circling back to my initial question, do you think the classification is dispositive as to 2K21, maybe not as to the other one for whatever, sorry, I've lost track of them, but as to 2K21, because of the reference to classification, you think it's dispositive?
Yes, Your Honor. But even to the extent that this court disagrees with me and thinks that is not, I do think that Alabama's clear dictate that this is not a conviction is a very relevant part of the analysis. And it shows all of the steps that Alabama has taken to
And can I ask you what is the do you have case law on that? That's your best case for that proposition? That Alabama does not consider this an adjudication?
Your Honor, that's that is statutory.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor. It's statutory in Alabama law.
Can you give me the statute, please?
Yes, Your Honor. So so that is
Are you thinking maybe about Alabama Code 15-19-7?
Thank you, Your Honor.
A youthful offender adjudication, quote, shall not be deemed a conviction of a crime, close
quote. That is correct, Your Honor. And Section 19 of Title 15 in the Alabama Code sets out a whole host of procedural differences that Alabama has to separate YO proceedings. So, for example, that they are conducted in separate court proceedings from adult criminal sessions, that these are closed proceedings, that they lose the right to a jury trial, and they also don't suffer the same collateral consequences as adults having the right. They don't have the same collateral consequences and lose the rights that accompany an adult conviction.
When the government gets up here, they're going to say United States versus Elliott tells us otherwise. Why is Elliott not applicable here?
Because the commission or the Sentencing Commission has drawn a line at whether someone is over 18 or under 18. And in Elliott, this court wasn't required to address whether this was an adult conviction. It was looking at whether it was a conviction at all. And it didn't have that reliance on state law that is written into the commentary for offenses committed before a defendant is 18.
Is that basically the same thing? I read a couple of these First Circuit opinions that you guys debate. There's this case called Curet. You remember this one? Maybe I'm pronouncing it correctly. C-U-R-E-T, I think. Is that basically what's going on there as well?
No, Your Honor. So Curet is distinguishable in that what Curet was dealing with in the First Circuit is a case that was unquestionably adult. It was a guilty filed disposition, which is dealing with adult courts. And it was simply whether it was, it was not in any way associated with a person's age. In this case, what we are dealing with is something that is specifically for youthful offenders. It is specifically for offenders under the age of 21, and it pulls them out of adult criminal proceedings, and it separates them from adult criminal proceedings based on their age. And so Curet is not as helpful here because there is that difference. Because Alabama law does make clear that, again, this is not a conviction for the purposes of Alabama law, and there are a host of proceedings that separate youthful offender adjudication from adult criminal proceedings.
What do you make of the government citation of this provision of Alabama law 12-15-204?
Yes, Your Honor. So I think that is read to exclude certain offenders from the jurisdiction of a juvenile court, but it doesn't address the issue here. Alabama courts have made clear that that statute does not preclude someone who is charged in adult court from seeking YO status, as happened here. And YO status is granted early in the proceedings. Once it is granted, nothing else happens on the indictment. The proceedings are transferred to the YO proceedings with all of the protections that kick in at that point. And so that doesn't answer the question here, because that's not dealing with how Alabama handles youthful offenders. So Alabama law contains a host of protections meant to separate youthful offender proceedings from adult criminal proceedings and to shield YO adjudication from the consequences of an adult criminal conviction. And as such, Alabama law makes clear that a YO adjudication is not an adult conviction. And the district court erred in relying on Mr. Jews's YO adjudication to enhance his base offense level. In light of these errors, the court should vacate the sentence and remand for resentencing.
Can I just ask you one question before you stop? So just so I understand before the government gets up here, your position really is that the three factors, the sentence the defendant received, the actual time served, the one which is the nature of the proceedings, that's the one that weighs in your favor, and that's the one that we should give basically all the weight to.
In this instance, it weighs so heavily in the favor because of all of these protections that are built in. Yes, it weighs heavily in Alabama's, or yes, Your Honor, it weighs heavily in our favor.
Okay. Thank you.
So can I'm sorry, I just want to make sure I'm clear then. I thought that your position was, yes, the nature of sort of the adjudication weighs in my favor, but likewise the classification under state law weighs in my favor, and that may, in your view, I thought, that's the real 800-pound gorilla, the classification. The nature also helps, but the classification is the thing that really drives your train.
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. So, yes.
That's pretty much the same thing, though, isn't it?
I would argue that it is, Your Honor, and that the fact that Alabama doesn't consider this a conviction is the clearest example of how they distinguish youthful adjudicants from adult criminal proceedings. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Darby. Mr. Billingsley.
Good morning, Michael Billingsley for the United States. May it please the court. I'd like to begin, consistent with some of the questioning, and try to narrow what the issue is we think is presented for the court to decide. Right off the bat, we think that whether a YO adjudication under Alabama law, under the guidelines, is considered a conviction is settled. It was settled by Elliott, which said it's a question of federal law. And so an Alabama youthful offender adjudication, despite the fact that it's not classified as a conviction under state law, is a conviction for purposes of the guidelines. You think that's further supported by the case we rely on and cite that Judge Newsom referred to, that Curitt case? Because it points out in that case, I think one way to make the point is that...
But can I ask you a question? Because in Elliott, we specifically said that Pinon and Wilkes provide no guidance on the issue for determining whether the conviction was an adult conviction. And isn't that really what the issue is before us?
That was correct, Your Honor, because like Ms. Darby said, the defendant in that case was 18 at the time of the state conviction in question.
He was 20 years old, right?
I'm sorry?
He was 20 years old.
He was above 18, yeah. So the court didn't need to look to state law to determine whether it was adult in nature. The question, though, was whether it was just a conviction at all, because the state calls it an adjudication. The state doesn't call it a conviction. And so that was the question. And so the question was whether the guideline commentary, whether we're looking at to determine whether it's an adult conviction, whether it's a conviction is a question of federal law. You look to state law to determine whether it's adult in nature.
But, I mean, the guidelines do draw this line, right? I mean, the guideline says... A conviction for an offense committed at age 18 years or older is, as a matter of federal law, an adult conviction. But then the next sentence says a conviction for an offense committed prior to age 18 is an adult conviction if it's classified that way under state law.
Yeah, but like the court in Curitt said, you're presuming a federal definition of conviction there, and you're looking at whether it's adult conviction. The commentary is not written to draw a distinction between how a state somatically classifies the result of the proceedings is about whether the person was treated as an adult or as a juvenile. And the court in Curitt made the point most strongly, I think, by saying everybody in this case agrees that this individual was treated as an adult.
So is it your position, I guess, that the other two factors, the fact that Mr. Deuce got over a year and that so the actual time he served and the sentence that he received weigh more in your favor?
In terms of whether it was an adult conviction. Factor. But what I want to make clear is our position, first off, that there's no dispute that it's a conviction. You're just deciding whether it was adult in nature.
Right, but that's the issue in the room, isn't it?
It is.
Whether or not it's an adult conviction, because clearly there was a conviction, but the reason we're here is to determine whether or not it qualifies as an adult conviction.
Absolutely.
Under the guidelines... it only is relevant if he was convicted as an adult. I mean, it's clear that he received a sentence exceeding a year and a month, okay? The question is whether or not the conviction is an adult conviction.
Correct. Yes, Your Honor. I was just trying to.
You have to convince us that it was.
I know. I'm just trying to. Maybe I'm not doing a good job of explaining that whether it was a conviction is settled. We're looking at whether it was adult conviction, and that question is resolved by Pinon and Wilkes, in our opinion.
But you know, as a matter of Alabama law, how could it be an adult conviction if Alabama doesn't even think it's a conviction? I mean, like just like the Venn diagram, right? I mean, is in order to be an adult conviction, you have to first be a conviction. Alabama law says it's not.
But that's reading the commentary as if you're looking to state law to determine whether it's conviction.
Well, no, I guess I'm saying I'm looking to Alabama law to see whether it's an adult conviction, and Alabama doesn't even think it's a conviction, let alone an adult conviction.
Well, like they say, maybe one factor you would consider that they treat it differently and how it's, you know, the collateral consequences, things like that. But it's still a conviction. And Elliott, the court said, while adjudication is a conviction under federal law.
I'm confused now. Alabama considers this a youthful offender conviction.
They don't call it a conviction, Your Honor.
So they don't even call it a conviction.
They call it an adjudication.
All right. Anything less than 3 years is an adjudication. You could get 3 years and it's still not a conviction. It's still
anything it's under still the adjudication.
So there's no conviction. Alabama does not consider this, what he received in Alabama, a conviction then, right?
That's right.
And so you're asking us to disregard Alabama law?
No, Your Honor. No, I'm saying that the definition of conviction, of whether it's a conviction, is controlled by federal law. Federal law and the guidelines say that all sorts of things that aren't convictions can be, or that not typical convictions, withheld adjudications, things like this can be.
Are you able to cite a case, a federal case, where we say, well, we disregard what the state calls this, whether it's an adjudication or a conviction, we disregard what the state.
What I would cite is the Curate decision in the First Circuit, where the court says there's a pre-existing definition, a federal definition of conviction, and you only look to state law to determine whether it's an adjudication, it's a disposition.
That's
a federal conviction, you look to state law to determine if it's adult in nature.
I guess I just wonder if Curate is the closest First Circuit analog. Like there's this other case that the Curate court cites called McGee that seems much more closely in point to me. Curate, like the Curate court says, there's no dispute under state law that this person is treated as an adult, right? So that's like different, very different from our case. And Curate's about this weird, I don't know, guilty filed thing that I don't even understand really what that is. But McGee is like a YO case, right? And McGee says, let's look through the state law to see how the state sort of treats this.
I don't think it was a YO case, but the distinction in Curate, I'm just really failing to make this point, I think, is that they said they were everything, everybody agrees he was treated as an adult, but they don't call it a conviction in the state they were looking at. And they said that doesn't matter because it's a conviction under federal law, regardless of what the state calls it. But we need to look to state law to determine whether it was adult in nature. So I'm saying under federal law, whether it's adjudication, it's a disposition, it's a conviction, but it may or may not be adult in nature. It wouldn't make any sense based on the purpose of the commentary to determine whether it's a adult conviction based on the semantics of what the state calls it. A person who's treated as an adult, sentenced as an adult, and the state calls it an adjudication, that's not going to count.
So I guess then maybe I'm understanding better. You're not denying that the fact that Alabama doesn't even treat this thing as any kind of conviction. You're not denying that that might be indicative of the fact that it's not an adult conviction, but that it's not dispositive of the fact that it's.
The fact that it's called an adjudication does not prevent it from being a conviction. The only question is whether it's an adult.
And the fact that Alabama chooses to treat it as an adjudication and not a conviction might be indicative of the fact that Alabama doesn't treat it as an adult.
I don't know if I could see that under the factors of Pinon and Wilkes, because that's not a relevant consideration under the nature of the proceedings, unless you would put it under the nature of the proceedings. Certainly not a relevant fact to the sentence imposed or the sentence.
That wouldn't be
served.
Crazy to put it underneath the nature of the proceedings, would it? I mean, they do kind of line up, don't they?
I suppose.
It's kind of like, what is this, you know?
I suppose not. I mean, it could, if you're looking at the nature of the proceedings overall, certainly there are different collateral consequences based on the fact that it's not deemed a conviction in Alabama, although Alabama does say if you repeat offense, if you commit another offense, it can't be considered by the judge who's sentencing you for that second offense. So it's similar to the way that it's being treated in the, under the guidelines. You can do it under state law.
I guess what I'm struggling with is the plain language of the guideline. For offenses committed before the age of 18, the sentencing guidelines explain that, quote, if the defendant was convicted as an adult and received a sentence of imprisonment exceeding 1 year and 1 month, add 3 points under 4A1.1. That seems clear to me.
If he was convicted as an adult, right. We
he was not convicted as an adult.
We think he was, Your Honor. I mean, the distinction that's being drawn there is between adult convictions and juvenile convictions. You mentioned the statute under Alabama, which is 12-15-204, which says, based on the crime committed by Mr. Jews, that statute says...
He wasn't even convicted, according to Alabama law. He was just adjudicated.
Again, but I think that that doesn't matter under Elliott. That's our position, that it's a federal definition of conviction, and whatever the state called it, it's a conviction for purposes of the guidelines.
Okay, what is the federal definition of conviction? Maybe let's start there.
I think under Elliott, the court said, and it's not going to say anything, but it certainly said the Alabama youthful offender adjudication constitutes a conviction under the federal guidelines. That's what Elliott said. Again, the distinction being drawn between the age is to determine whether it's an adult conviction. So it's a conviction. You're looking to see whether it was adult in nature. That's the point, the major point that I'm trying to make. And when you look at whether it's adult in nature, and that's why Elliott said these opinions aren't helpful to us, because the opinion of Wilkes looked to whether it was adult in nature. They're not addressing whether it was a conviction in the first place.
So what's your response? Because I don't recall that your brief really gets into this, but what's your response to Ms. Darby's contention that if we really are going to drill down and look at the nature, these things really are quite different, very different collateral consequences, very different procedures in place. So, like, if we're going to really talk about the nature, aren't they pretty different?
There are some differences, but there were differences in the state scheme in Wilkes and the state scheme in Pinion. The collateral consequences, we would say, are relevant to the three factors identified by the court in Pinion. And, in fact, those
bear on the nature of the conviction.
I think if you read these opinions, Elliott, Acosta, they kind of rebuke consideration of that, because they say these youthful offender proceedings are for the purpose of giving first-time offenders a chance, a second chance, and not to have this hang over their head the rest of the time. It's not to give them some benefit down the road if they continue their criminal activity. So I think that being a consideration is specifically rebuked by these opinions. Elliott and Acosta come to mind, but I think that's a point made in many of them.
What about the much sort of looser procedures in place in youthful offender adjudication?
Well,
if fundamentally inquisitorial, not adversarial, you know, sort of diversion programs, bench trials.
The fact that they're different, again, there were differences in the ones in Wilkes and Pinion, doesn't mean they're not adult in nature. The distinction they're trying to draw in the guidelines.
Then what if substantively collateral consequences don't inform nature, and the procedures of the procedures in place don't inform nature? What in your estimation does inform the nature? What would make something?
If these were juvenile court proceedings. Let me go back to the section 1215.
He was charged in adult court and then they transferred him to the juvenile.
No, absolutely not. He was charged in adult court. The adult court considers whether he should be granted youthful offender. So the proceedings are still occurring in adult court. They're different, but that doesn't mean they're not adult in nature. They're not juvenile in nature. Alabama has a juvenile court. It has a juvenile process. That was not what this is. He got 3 years in the custody of the Department of Corrections. To say that's a juvenile in nature is not accurate. But
Alabama only makes that distinction if you get more than 3 years, though. I mean, anything less than, you can be a youthful offender for 3 years and you still get 3 years in prison. Alabama's made that determination.
3 years is the maximum you can get as a youthful offender.
Right. So Alabama's determined that you can get 3 years in prison and still get a youthful adjudication. And so you're asking us to quarrel with that?
You get the youthful offender adjudication, and the way Alabama works, then you're sentenced. He had the youthful offender adjudication before he was sentenced to 3 years.
Can I ask you a question? And this is also for your colleague on the other side, which is, my understanding is that there's a provision also in Alabama law, 15-19-7A, that says that if the youthful offender is subsequently convicted of the crime, the prior adjudication as a youthful offender shall be considered.
That's right. That's right. So it can be considered in an Alabama state court if you continue to reoffend, which is sort of the point I was making about this court saying, this is there to give you a benefit. If you continue to commit crimes, it's not to continue to give you a benefit. Let me just make this point because my time is about to run out. 1215-204, it said that based on the offense Mr. Jews committed, he was to be treated as an adult, notwithstanding any other provision of law. Now, of course, he got youthful offender status. We can't deny that. Alabama law provides for that. But the only conclusion to draw from that is Alabama considers the youthful offender process to be part of its adult system. That's the only conclusion you can draw from that statement.
May I ask another question, Judge Wilson? Yeah. So let me ask you a question. For purposes of, if we're considering the nature of the proceedings, where in the record could we look to the fact that he was charged in adult court?
He was charged with first degree robbery. The PSR notes that he was charged by a grand jury. I'm not sure if that's the way the PSR notes it, but that's what happened. And then it goes to the adult court where it remains. And he gets youthful offender status and is sentenced by the adult court.
Do we know why he was transferred to youthful offender status?
Because of the Alabama law, he could apply for it and they do an investigation. If he qualifies, it's the discretion of the court, the Alabama Circuit Court, the adult court, to decide whether he's going to get that or not.
Yeah, the application could have been denied.
It could have been denied, yes, sir. But this is making us look for some sort of quasi-juvenile adjudication that the court in Pinion said, we're not going to plumb the nuances of the state statutory scheme to see if that exists. It would be inconsistent with the purposes of the guidelines.
So your contention, I guess, is that under 1215-204, because it says shall be tried as an adult, no matter how different things are from there on out on a YO conviction that is formally technically in adult court, it's still adult, 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 all the way down.
It's part of the adult process. It says notwithstanding any other provision of law that you're to be treated as an adult, and it still allows for the YO process. Again, it's not a juvenile proceeding, which we think the guidelines is trying to draw a distinction between juvenile and adults, not this quasi-juvenile situation that we're looking at here.
If he'd been not given any prison time at all, just probation, would your argument be different?
I think it would be different based on the three factors in Pinion. It would be different because the court there said that the nature, or let me just quote one thing from that, and then I'll, it is undisputed that the defendant was sentenced to and served a period greater than 1 year and 1 month. Therefore, we would consider the nature and term of the sentence rather than South Carolina's statutory classification to answer the question before us. The same thing is true here. He was sentenced to 3 years, served most of those 3 years, if not all of it. We think that resolves his case.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ringsley. Ms. Darby, you have reserved some time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think the government's argument in Curate is trying to parse out adult conviction to kind of read the state law deference out of it. We recognize that there are parts of Mr. Jews's youthful offender proceedings, like his jail sentence. We recognize that there are parts that weigh against classifying this as an adult, or that weigh for classifying this as an adult conviction. But nonetheless, the specific nature of Alabama's YO proceedings, including the fact that it's not a conviction, including the fact that these are special sessions, these are separate sessions, that you lose the right to a jury trial, and that you are shielded from most of the collateral.
Can I ask you a question that goes to the fact that Mr. Jews was charged in adult court and the proceeding was not in juvenile court, it was in adult court, and then he made an application to be treated as a youthful offender, which is a youthful offender status, and that was granted. Does that go to, do we look at that in terms of the nature of the proceedings? Is that something that we factor in?
The fact that he was charged initially as an adult.
And that it proceeded in adult court.
Your Honor, I don't believe so, because once that YO adjudication is made, the nature of the proceedings fundamentally shift. Nothing further happened on that robbery indictment. Yes, that is what he is indicted for initially, but he was adjudicated a youthful offender. He wasn't convicted of robbery.
But Mr. Billingsley's sort of position does have the benefit of being sort of a clean line, right? He says, just look at 1215-204. It says, shall be tried as an adult. And sort of like, don't mess around with all the minutia, right?
I understand that, Your Honor. But that's not consistent with Alabama law that treats youthful offenders so differently. And Alabama courts have said that nothing in that provision shifts nothing in the statute that Mr. Billingsley is relying on precludes someone from applying for YO status. And then the nature just fundamentally shifts. This is not a conviction under Alabama law, and it doesn't have the whole host of collateral consequences and the host of all of the, and it's kept fundamentally separate from adult criminal proceedings. And Judge Lagoa, I know that you referenced that this is something that can be considered by an Alabama court later on, and that is true. But one important distinction is that this is not going to be considered a felony under Alabama's Habitual Offender Act.
Sounds to me like your argument is that the guideline doesn't make any reference to how the defendant is charged in state court. It only makes reference to how the defendant is convicted in state court.
Yes, Your Honor.
It sounds like, is that your argument?
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. And the YO proceedings are just so fundamentally different in the nature of them that it separates, it's clearly distinguished from the adult criminal system. And so with that, Alabama law makes clear that a YO adjudication just is not an adult conviction.
Can I ask you one further question about sort of the classification point that I was and sort of remain a little hung up on, which I think, frankly, is like a strong point in your favor. But all of the evidence, the sort of the code and case law evidence on your side in Alabama on that issue, as Mr. Billingsley points out, runs only to the question of whether Alabama treats this as a conviction at all, right? And he says, look, Elliott says, as a matter of federal law, it's a conviction. Now let's look through to Alabama law to figure out whether it's an adult conviction. Now, it's not crazy to think that it can't very well under Alabama law be an adult conviction if Alabama doesn't even consider it a conviction. But if we're just at the level of conviction, let me ask you this. Do you deny under Elliott that the word conviction in the commentary carries a like federal law essence or something?
I would disagree with that when it comes to adult conviction, because the guidelines makes this clear distinction between, you know, these offenders over the age of 18, where it is an adult conviction, versus under the age of 18, where you have this deference to state law. I do think that deference to state law kicks in at the conviction determination.
But can I ask you a question about the commentary? Because this is sort of where I'm first stuck, which is in the commentary of application note 7. Where it says, for offenses committed prior to the age of 18, only those that resulted in adult sentences of imprisonment exceeding 1 year and 1 month are counted. To avoid disparities from jurisdiction to jurisdiction in the age at which a defendant is considered a juvenile, this provision applies to all offenses committed prior to age 18. I mean, clearly a conviction, a sentence of 3 years would fall under this application note, correct?
Your Honor, again, if it's adults, but Alabama doesn't consider this to be
a. So you're the way you argue out of the application note is that it's not an adult conviction, even though it's over a year.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And I recognize that there is a difference in the criminal history calculation in Chapter 4 and the guideline commentary in 2K2.1, in that there's not that clear deference to state law, but we would argue that the nature of the proceedings for YO adjudications do separate them and render them to not be adult convictions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Darby. Mr. Billingsley.